Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Good morning. It is Thursday, February 8th. It is 6 minutes after nine. You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. So as expected, the Senate's vote to advance that border bill failed yesterday. Wow. It's the first of two votes that Chuck Schumer is forcing on the issue. The second one removes the border provisions. So pretty much he gave everybody two options. The first option was money for Ukraine and Israel without border money. And then the second option was with border money. But those are the choices, nothing else. So where is the third option, which is the border money without Ukraine money?
This whole Ukraine fetish is wild because, again, it would be one thing if it wouldn't make it any better, but it would be one thing if it was some country we have a long-standing economic and, you know, military ties to. And you would say, all right, I don't agree with this, but I at least understand the conversation. Like the Israel conversation, I actually understand. They shouldn't be paired to border security, but I get the Israel conversation about should we give them more money? How much should we give them? What should it go for? While disagree that we should be giving more money, I understand the conversation. This one is beyond puzzling because we are talking about refusing to secure our southern border over a country that doesn't even like us.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not even going to be up for debate now. However, here's the interesting part. Chuck Schumer, he switched his vote to no at the end as well. Now, that's a procedural move
that
allows him to call the bill back up for reconsideration. But it's interesting that he's out there blasting everybody, especially Donald Trump, who doesn't even get a vote. And he voted no at the end himself.
I get this all the time. In politics, where something is my fault, we get this all the time from the establishment people, supporters, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's our fault. We're this, we're that. And I will say, how could it be my fault if something doesn't go forward in the government or doesn't pass? We don't have a vote. It's the same thing here. Donald Trump doesn't have a vote. You people can do whatever you want to do whenever you want to do it. Your job, Chuck Schumer, is to find 50 votes or, depending on how the procedural issue works, 60 votes. Mm-hmm. That is not Donald Trump's responsibility. And an inability to act by Chuck Schumer because he is insistent upon tying this money for the border to the Ukraine. And let's face it, the Republicans want to do that as well. The Mitch McConnell and Todd Young and those people, they want to give this money to Ukraine. They desperately want to print $60 billion, make inflation worse, add to the national debt. They want to do it. They just were so besieged with negative phone calls and emails and however else you can correspond with your elected officials these days that they had to pull back on it. Yep. They want to do it. They're working to do it. They're working to screw you over. They just can't figure out a way to thread that needle yet.
So Indiana Senator Mike Braun, he said that the Dems built a weak bill, but Chuck Schumer just attacking Donald Trump, saying that he is the one who is causing chaos in the House.
Donald Trump wants chaos. Donald Trump does not want success at the border. He wants chaos, and if he became president, I doubt he'd ever solve it, as Mitch McConnell said. And so we want them to pass the border bill, and if they vote against border, America will know who is for fixing the border and who is not. Mm. But if it fails, we still believe Ukraine, Israel, humanitarian aid to the Middle East, and help in Indochina, as well as strengthening our military, is vitally important. For all those Republicans who first said, we want it with border, and now say we want it without border, they got both options. On amendments, because I know you'll ask that, we have always been for a fair and open amendment process. Under my leadership, we've done far more amendments than when McConnell was majority leader, and we will have a fair and open process on amendments, okay?
Same position you were 5 months ago, trying to pass this bill without border. Do you have any assurances that the Speaker would actually bring this bill up in the House?
Look, the bottom line is the majority of Republicans in the House said they want to do Ukraine, they want to do Israel, and we hope that if we pass it in the Senate, that the House would then rise to the occasion. The House is in chaos. It doesn't behoove the Speaker well to block everything because 30 hard right-wing people just want chaos like Donald Trump does.
So he continues just to blame everything on Donald Trump, and then he even got a dig in for Mitch McConnell and then the Speaker of the House, when in fact it was Biden's executive action that dissolved the Trump-era border security. And it was Biden who refused to enforce the existing laws.
Of course. And I'll say this right now. I'm not for one more penny going to Ukraine. And people can be mad at me if they want. We have seen no tangible result from all the money that we have sent them. They have fought to a stalemate, which I don't care, Casey. I know that's going to come off as callous to people, but I do not care about what happens somewhere with a country. I mean, the people try to frame it as though it's like reliable American ally who we can totally trust and has always been in our corner, or, you know, Stalin. That's not true. Is Putin a bad guy? Sure he is. Are the Ukrainians corrupt? Yeah, absolutely. Will the Ukrainians eventually turn on us? Absolutely. Is there any guarantee that these weapons and the stuff we send them won't end up in the hands? Like it always does. It always does, Casey.
Mm-hmm.
Every time we get involved in somebody else's mess, it screws us, and the stuff we send them ends up in the hands of somebody who likes us even less than the people we sent the stuff to. Vladimir Putin is a murderer and a thug and a lunatic. There's lots of thugs and murderers and lunatics we are in bed with all over the globe. If you're asking me, Rob, would you rather not print any more money and find a way to deal with Vladimir Putin in which we have a reliable ability to work together on terrorism, on commerce, on energy? If those are my two options, if that is the best option I have, I'm taking that every time. I am so sick of people acting as though if you object to what we're doing in Ukraine, you're somehow anti-patriot or anti-patriotic or anti-American, or you know, Ukraine's problem is Ukraine's problem. And it is laughable to think that Vladimir Putin has the ability or the means or the wherewithal, if he somehow wins this relatively small portion of land, to push. We're not even talking about the whole Ukraine at this point. We were talking about a sliver of land in the Ukraine. He can't even do that on his own. Yet we're led to believe that unless we send these guys $60 billion, that he is going to somehow push all the way to Poland.
You mean an additional $60 billion.
Right, Casey. Mm-hmm. That is laughable. And it is always, you know, we know where the money went. We know where a whole bunch of this money went to pay people's salaries. Mm-hmm. We know it went to prop up elitists in Ukraine. We know a bunch of it ended up in the hands of the FTX guy.
Yep.
Went to Democrats.
It went to keep some of their stores open, their fashion industry going.
Not one more penny for these people until there is an audit and there's an evaluation and the American people can see, here's the money we sent, here's where it went, and here is how it helped me. I am so sick of my printed money that punishes me and you and Kevin every day, and that my kid and my grandkids and their grandkids and their grandkids will have to pay back. I am so sick of hearing that I am somehow anti-American or anti-patriotic or pro-Putin if I simply say I'm done giving money to people who don't want to be accountable for it and don't even like me.
So another thing that happened this week, of course, is the GOP failed to impeach Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas, and three Republicans defected from the party line, voted against it. And Matt Gaetz has come out and said that he's never missed George Santos more because he wasn't there to be able to vote with them. And the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, he's finally speaking out about the failed impeachment.
Yeah, on impeachment, last night was a setback, but democracy is messy. We live in a time of divided government. We have a razor-thin margin here, and every vote counts. Sometimes when you're counting votes and people show up when they're not expected to be in the building, it changes the equation. But listen, we have a duty and a responsibility to take care of this issue. We have to hold the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security accountable. Mayorkas needs to be held accountable. The Biden administration needs to be held accountable. And we will pass those articles of impeachment. We'll do it on the next round.
Mr.
Next round. So it sounds to me like they're just going to keep circling back to these same issues that they've been working on for months and months and months.
So it was, I think the vote was 216 to 214. So he's got to come up with two more, and then what? So you're going to impeach this guy after you failed. And then let's say you get it across the finish line. What, you think the Senate is going to be just itching to take this up and Schumer's going to make it a priority and he's going to drop everything he's doing over there? And
no, we know what Schumer's priority is, and that's sending money to Ukraine.
So what are we doing here?
Yeah.
And it is another example of these Republicans who have the solution right in front of them, which is choke off the money, stop funding Biden's priorities, force him to get his act together, get Mayorkas out of there, get the border under control. They have the ability to do that, but they're not interested in solving the problem. They are interested in mass illegal immigration the same way the Democrats are, but they want you to believe that they are not. So they are continuing on with this ridiculous, illogical. I heard somebody who works here yesterday advocating, even though constitutionally there's not a high crime or misdemeanor, to just go ahead and go forward with it. That's insane. Well, the Democrats ignore the Constitution all the time. So where does it end? Why do we even have the thing at this point? Mayorkas is a complete scumbag, and he sucks at his job, and he's totally incompetent. But is that where we're at now, where we just hey, we admit there's no high crime or misdemeanor, but just it doesn't matter?
So he was in Las Vegas yesterday preparing, Mayorkas was, preparing for the Super Bowl, because that's where he belongs. And he was asked a question about the impeachment, and we'll get his answer coming up from 93 WIBC.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
If you ever wanted a lesson on spin, boy, we've got it for you. Do you remember earlier in the week when Joe Biden came out and said that he wasn't going to be doing the traditional pre-Super Bowl interview?
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of eyeballs will be there. You think it'd be a great opportunity for him, and instead he's choosing not to. And you got to think to yourself, well, why is that? Is it because he can't string a sentence together and he would look like a buffoon in front of millions of people?
Yeah, that is it is fascinating because, okay, so it's pregame,
yeah.
Right? It's not the actual game itself, but you obviously, you know, as you're closing in on the broadcast of the Super Bowl, you've got tens of millions of eyeballs on you. It's, while there's always legitimate questions being asked of a world importance or whatever, it's not, you know, it's not a real grilling that a seasoned politician, you know, would struggle to handle. And there's
a lot of softball questions.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So why wouldn't he do it, right?
It's crazy, isn't
great
it?
Great opportunity.
It's more, crazy.
Get his name out there. Get his face out there. More people watching, right? Well, the reason he's not going to do it is for you. Check this out.
Anything specifically on why you're not doing the Super Bowl interview? I mean, that's a massive audience in an election year of people who may not be tuned into this White House or this election at this moment.
So, look, as you know, Super Bowl is a great annual tradition. Look, the president certainly, President Biden, looks forward to watching the game this Sunday, just like millions of, as you just stated, just like millions of Americans are going to be doing that. And look, you know, we hope that the viewers who tuned in, you know, we know that the viewers who tuned in, they come to tune in to watch the game, right? And so, obviously, you know, that is... that is just a fact. They want to see the game. They want to see their favorite team. They want to see a halftime show. That is what the Super Bowl is, that type of tradition. The president will find many other ways to communicate with Americans, the millions of Americans out there, and we will find those ways to do it where we think the time is right.
Okay. So he's doing it for us.
That's the way she lies is, I mean, it is sociopath beyond description. So we are led to believe. So they're going to spend hundreds of millions of dollars, maybe even $1 billion by the time it's all said and done, running for re-election. The goal of that, obviously, is to get in front of people. That's what you're buying when you're buying advertising.
Right.
And they offer you the opportunity. Right. I don't know how many people are watching the Super Bowl pregame show, but let's say it's a cool 50 mil. You get a free, whatever it is, 10 minutes or however long in front of 50 million people with largely softball questions. And you go, nah,
we don't want to interrupt. People are tuning in for the game. The game's not even started yet. We're going to pass on that. Is it because he hates football?
Yeah. So think about this. Okay. So this is a great example because today is obviously a big day. Mm-hmm. You know, Suzanne Crouch is going to be here at 10:30. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be off the charts. The amount of people are going to be listening to that because why? They want to hear what she has to say because, and she knows what mm-hmm. she's going to get asked. Mm-hmm. She's going to get asked questions that nobody else is asking. And people want to know, is she going to break from Holcomb on the things we talk about every day? Is she going to embrace them? She's coming in because she recognizes she will have a large amount of people. She knows we're going to be tough on her, but we're going to be fair. She knows she's not going to get sandbagged. And so she says, clearly she has something she wants to say. Mm-hmm. So she's coming in to do that. That's a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
The Super Bowl, Casey.
Yeah.
He's not
going to be asked tough questions. That's the thing. They're lifestyle questions. How are you and Jill celebrating the Super Bowl?
This is the game.
What are you guys going to eat? What flavor ice cream are you having?
This is the game that we play. And part of the reason it's rare that we have politicians on, and I told somebody who works for this the other day, is because usually they're very boring and they add absolutely nothing to the conversation and people either fall asleep mm-hmm. or change the dial. However, someone like her or any of these governor candidates, it is timely and important because of the makeup of our show and how we are critical in ways other people aren't. So it, unlike other shows, people will tune in to say, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? That's the way this works with the politicians and the media. They use us, we use you. And for Biden to act like, oh no, I'm totally above that. I wouldn't want to ruin it for everyone.
I don't want to ruin it for you. I'm not going to do the pre-Super Bowl interview for you. It is Kendall and Casey. It's 93 WIBC. And Jim Merritt is going to join us next.
Tonight down on Union Street.
WIBC, it is the Kendall and Casey show, and oh my goodness, look at that
Robert.
Smiling face. It is time to check in on the latest of what's going on at Indiana politics and government, and for that we have our own in-house expert. He spent 30 years in the Indiana Senate, the great Jim Merritt. Hello.
Good Thursday. I always look forward to this 15 minutes.
You are just a ray of sunshine, and you're actually wearing a bright yellow sweater today, and that is just the perfect appearance for you.
You got to be happy in February in Indiana.
And we're glad you're here, because you always know where the bodies are buried in Indiana politics and government. And let's start with, speaking of burying bodies, this thing with Diego Morales, just even by Diego standards, because let's face it, Diego is a total buffoon, and he has no business being in charge of a Wendy's, much less important things like elections and businesses and everything else. But he is. And even by Diego's standards, this was just totally incredible, because I'm talking about Jim Banks files to run for U.S. Senate. He turns his signatures in, and Diego's first action as Secretary of State, who will oversee the election, is to not only declare Jim Banks the winner and the next senator and his full endorsement and take a picture with him. He does it all from his office in the Indiana State House. And any person, Jim, whether you are a State House employee, whether you are an office holder, whether you're a whatever, the moment you walk in the building, and I've been there and been through the employee training and orientation, is they tell you, you can't do any politics inside this building. You want to do that? Go walk across the street to the Cafe Patachou and do it over there. And he did it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I can speak from my own experience that in the Indiana Senate, you could not talk about your campaign for reelection. I actually had a press conference in the chamber, Indiana Senate chamber, and we were talking about a pro-law enforcement issue that we were going to tackle in the coming session. And there was actually a candidate for a Senate seat that was in the body, in the chamber itself. And I got accused of politics because there was a candidate, not a state senator, in on the press conference. And I lamented that. And I thought I was wrong. And I apologize to the public on it, because You can't have politics in the state house. There was a long-time law that probably still on the books, but it's ignored now, that money cannot exchange hands in the state house itself. You can go down to the canteen and buy a Diet Coke, but that's about it. You cannot exchange monies. And the reason why is because there's got to be a fine line between politics and government.
And this is, the super concerning thing about Diego is there's a strong chance Diego is so clueless he didn't know that. And I don't know what's worse, not knowing it, because you are in charge of elections. You are the umpire of elections of the state of Indiana. First of all, it's bad enough, even if he was in the state house, that he declares some guy the winner when you're in charge ultimately of counting and receiving the votes. This is why people don't have any confidence in the elections, because you got the guy who's in charge declaring one guy the winner. But to do it from the office is like he is just either that stupid or he just took a giant middle finger and said, here you go, people of Indiana, you eat this.
This is why staff is so very important. You look at President Biden with his basement or his Rose Garden strategy he's going to do in 2024. It's because the staff doesn't trust him on the podium and on the mic. And so you've got to have stellar staff that if you're a busy public servant, that they know the rules and they direct you because you're so focused on the job itself. And it's just really a shame to get up there and do something like this, because everybody that's in government, everybody that's elected, should understand. And even if you're a staffer, you've got to understand that politics and policy, politics and government, there's a fine line there, and you just can't cross it.
Jim Arrett's our guest. You're a Hamilton County guy these days.
I am.
Indianapolis through and through, and even got too bad for you. You said, I got to get out of here. So Sparks, she's your
my member of Congress.
Mm-hmm. She is exhausting. Victoria Sparks is exhausting, and that's coming from me,
right,
which is really saying something.
Mm-hmm.
You are one of her constituents.
I am.
The floor is yours to comment on this issue, because I fathom how anybody could vote for her after she just lied to everybody for a year about running again.
Well, you know, first of all, it's untoward to tell everybody that you want to go home, that you want to be with your family, and you want to kind of melt back into society, that she'd done her public service. And when you look at her time in Congress, number one, 435. I'm not sure why anybody would run for this, because you're waiting to wait. There are four or five people in Washington that make all the decisions. And now that it's really tight, one person can make the decision that is earth moving in the way of policy. But still, you're really, as a member of Congress, you're taking care of your constituents, and I don't think she's had a piece of legislation bubble to the surface that has become law. I'm just not sure what she's been doing for the last 4 years, and to come out and say I'm not going to do it, then wait to the deadline where people have committed their lives, that they're spending their own money, that are campaigning for your office, and say, you know, I didn't mean it.
Yeah, it's really rude to the other people, you know, whether it's Goodrich or Raju or the Engling guy. I mean, there's a whole bunch of people that are running out there. And for you to make that proclamation, and then not only did she make the proclamation, I mean, she was like pondering quitting in the middle of the session last year.
I don't know if these are her words, but she hated it.
Oh, yeah.
And she thought that was...
She was on with Tony last year during the whole McCarthy thing.
Right. And, you know, she's had staff turnover. And we just haven't... And Ukraine is an enormous issue in Washington, and she's from there. And so, you know, I think she's kind of missed the opportunity for her to make a real impact in Washington. And now you have... Scott Fadness, who is the mayor of Fishers. You've got Chris Jensen, the mayor of Noblesville, coming out against her in support of Goodrich, and who's put a lot of his own treasure into the race. And it's so interesting that she has done this. And mayors don't do this, where they support a primary insurgent now,
yeah.
Because whoever your member of Congress is, if you're a small time, these are big city mayors now, but suburban mayors are coming out against the sitting incumbent congressperson. That's a real big deal.
All right. We got about 45 minutes from now, I guess. Suzanne Crouch is going to be here.
Yes.
And I've said this many, many times. I worked very briefly through no fault of either one of ours under Suzanne Crouch when she was a state auditor. Mm-hmm. And I always found her to be very nice. Mm-hmm. I've always thought very highly of her personally. She is so joined at the hip with Holcomb.
Right.
That politically, I'm going to be fascinated what she has to say.
Right.
And we give her full credit for coming in to answer these questions. She knows we're going to be firm but fair. But how does she thread the needle? Because if there's an audience, there is no audience that loathes Holcomb more than our audience. Well, and I think she knows she's got to address this. How do you balance being this guy's lieutenant governor and being totally silent for 7 years? And I don't know how she can do it.
Let's fill in the blanks here. When she was getting ready to run for governor, she had countless announcements of support from the legislature. Individual legislators were supporting her, and to a person, they all love her. And
she's very likable in person,
of course. But also, you have Governor Holcomb, who didn't put her on the yard signs when they're when they're running together. But number two, with the State of the State speech every year, in the last 2 years, the governor has interrupted his remarks and allowed the lieutenant governor to speak on the issue of her day of mental health, and she's been a good leader on that. And so I've never seen that before, where a governor has given up the limelight for 5 minutes for his lieutenant governor to speak on this issue. And so what this is boiling down to is you've got the legislative support. You've had positive feelings about the governor, your running partner, for the last couple of years. And now you've got this FSSA problem that is her administration, because she's a part of the Holcomb administration, and you've got a real problem with caregiving. You know, they missed the comma $1 billion with the FSA, you know, FSSA Medicaid issue, and you've got all this swirling, and I'm not describing it well enough. But then all of a sudden this week, she says that she's with the caregivers. She wants an audit of FSA. And ladies and gentlemen, all of state government ought to be audited whenever a governor leaves office. Okay. So the next governor can do it.
What are the odds? We got to get out of here, but I want to get, what are the odds? It's coming up here, and this is going to be incredible radio. There'll be a gajillion, every radio in the state house, anybody remotely connected is going to be listening to this. What are the odds she throws Holcomb under the bus when she comes in? There's no way she can come in with our audience and say, yeah, Holcomb's great. He did a great job.
Yeah, I did a terrible job of describing
that's
the problem.
That's all right. We'll have you
back.
It's fine.
But the problem is she has to choose a horse. She's got to ride one of the – are you from the outside or are you from the inside? This is why I thought Senator Braun should leave Congress and leave the Senate and run for governor. And she's got to pick if she's a part of the Holcomb administration or is she not.
Yeah.
And you know, the voter right now does not want to be confused.
Yeah, we'll be firm but fair. She knows that. And it's coming up at 10:30. Hey, find you on Twitter at Jim_Merritt. You got the very fabulous Merritt in the Morning podcast from Cafe Audrey. Mm-hmm. You can find that on Facebook and YouTube. Jim Merritt, you're the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
93 WIBC, it's Kendall and Casey Show.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Good morning. It is 11 minutes in front of 10. You're listening to Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC.
You realize we literally could make the governor's race today? Do you realize the power and the pressure that comes with being us?
Mm-hmm. We're so charismatic.
I mean, you
have that
think
potential.
About the amount of people who have contacted me who have said we are just waiting on the edge of our seats to see how this interview is going to go. Mm-hmm. And really it is. I mean, it's a huge interview for Suzanne Crouch coming up at 10:30 because it is going to be, I mean, you have worked alongside somebody for 7 years.
Yeah.
And I think most people have known privately she vehemently has disagreed with a lot of things Holcomb has done. But when you don't speak out publicly about it, how do you now run against that? Mm-hmm. Because we all know, as Brad Chambers, despite having a gajillion dollars, is finding out that if you align yourself with Holcomb, you're DOA, you're dead on arrival. Brad Chambers could spend $100 million and he has as much chance of being governor as you and I do, because everybody knows he's Holcomb's errand boy.
I believe so far he spent 5.3.
Yeah, well, so we're not far off, right? Mm-hmm. And where is he? He's still at 5% in these polls or whatever, because everybody knows you were Holcomb's lapdog at the IEDC. Your job was to help Holcomb's World Economic Forum buddies. And so it doesn't matter what high-paid political consultants or whatever that you bring in, Brad Chambers. Everybody knows you are a continuation of Holcomb. I think Suzanne has the opportunity to has built up more goodwill because she spent a lot of time in the legislature and people knew her. But I'm fascinated. It's rare somebody walks in here and says, I have no idea what they're going to say. Mm-hmm. And I have absolutely no idea.
No, I know what you're going to say. I mean, I know how you're going to get us into the interview.
Yeah. But,
and I can't wait to see what direction it takes.
It's like choose your own adventure. We have no
idea what page
we're going to turn to. So
yeah.
It's just a lot of pressure that we have in this. I think people take for granted what we do every day. It's like watching Michael Jordan. It just happened so often,
mm-hmm.
and he was so good at it. People just think it's easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy to be us. It's not easy to be us, Casey.
Well, I have complete faith in you, but again—
Not yourself?
Hey, as I mentioned yesterday, when Hammer was in the studio, I come prepared. I have my list of questions, but the interview will really depend on some of her very first answers.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting.
On the direction that it goes.
And here's the thing. She is clearly, there are multiple polls that show, she is clearly the number one alternative right now to Braun.
Mm-hmm.
And all the polls that have gone out almost are identical. And she's right now a distant second, but she is the alternative to Braun. And a huge hang up with a lot of people, because Suzanne is super likable in person.
Mm-hmm.
She's very, very nice. But it is that stench of being connected to lock down McGee.
Yeah.
And this is her best chance to separate that, and we'll see how she does it.
I hope she answers the way I want.
It's gonna be great.
So we'll see. Hey, let's talk about, I mentioned earlier that Alejandro Mayorkas, you know, he's the DHS secretary, and he was up for impeachment earlier this week. It didn't happen, but he's been out in Las Vegas. He's there to go over safety and security measures for the Super Bowl. And while he was there, they had a little discussion, and a reporter asked him about the failed impeachment vote and whether he had planned to step down if, in fact, the vote succeeded. And what do you think his answer was?
No.
You got it. He said nope.
It's Matt Finn with Fox News. I respect the collaboration and preparedness that we are discussing here to keep us all safe this weekend. My question is for Mr. Mayorkas. How do you feel this morning after narrowly avoiding impeachment yesterday?
I've answered this question before. I'll gladly answer it again. The allegations are baseless, and I'm focused on the work, which was what brings me to Las Vegas today.
Mm-hmm. Republicans have indicated they may hold another vote, and they might have the numbers at that point to impeach you. If that happened, would you consider stepping aside?
No, I would not.
Now, here's the interesting thing.
Why would he?
Well, sure.
what do you think Schumer's gonna convict him in the Senate?
The interesting thing is that he went on to say that he was privileged to provide technical and operational expertise to the bipartisan group of senators that were working on that legislation. So at the same time, simultaneously, you've got the House saying, we want to impeach this guy. And then that's the guy that Schumer and McConnell were talking to craft the, air quotes, border bill.
I still can't figure out how McConnell and Duke of Spendingburg and those guys are weaseling out and voting no on this when they were the ones cheerleading
mm-hmm.
for the bill itself. And now they're trying to act like, oh, we're so disappointed that this was the bill that we got. That's the bill you people negotiated.
Right. We have nothing to do with that. Don't look over here. It's interesting.
These people's ability to look you in the eye and lie to you is, I mean, it is both maddening and impressive at the same time.
All right, so stuff is happening with Tucker Carlson, and we're going to talk about that coming up from 93 WIBC. Like